Well, hello and good evening. Welcome everyone to tonight's event, I guess, Monroe City Council meeting for June 14th, 2011. I'd like to call the meeting to order. And ask Edie if you would, roll call please.
Councilperson Balk.
Present.
Gary.
Here.
Howell.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Sima.
Here.
Hedebeck.
Here.
Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First portion of tonight's meeting is comments from citizens. This time is set aside for citizens to speak to City Council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to public hearing. You're welcome to address the Council on any other subject. Please limit your time to 5 minutes. First signed up this evening is Diane Elliott. Please forgive me if I mispronounce your Siri, Martin. If you would, your name and address for the record, please.
Hello, my name is Siri Martin. My address is 14037 Avenue, Seattle, Washington, 91. And I'm here as a representative of the LaRouche Political Action Committee. I believe we've testified here before. What is called the Glass-Steagall, which I'm not sure what the case was with the last testifying, but it's currently on the floor of the House of Representatives. It is H.R. 1489, a return of prudent banking. So in the last week since it's been introduced, Jim McDermott signed on, Jesse Jackson Jr., Maxine Waters, John Conyers. There's a number of co-signers across party lines. And what we're doing across the country is mobilizing all institutions to labor union city councils to encourage every representative to sign on to this. The two representatives that share this district, the city as a district, is Inslee and Larson. Neither of them have signed on. And we're at a point right now where the kind of crisis that's ensued, just the economic crisis that covers the whole transatlantic region, is one that is hitting food and fuel because of speculation on the futures market. So the Glass-Steagall is the measure that would allow for us to take sovereign control over this process and use regulations that have worked before to protect the citizens of the population that's getting hit in every way, from foreclosure crisis to being laid off, to losing their pension, so forth. So I'm here this evening to ask the council and everybody in attendance to call on Representative Larson and Inslee to not just to support Glass-Steagall, but to sign on as a co-sponsor and to pass this in the next days and weeks. Call on Maria Cantwell and Senator Murray as well to get this in the Senate side, which Cantwell had done a year ago with John McCain, and they had enough votes across party lines. So we have the letter from the representative who introduced us, Marcy Kaptur. She sent a letter to all of the representatives inviting them to become co-sponsors. We have the numbers of Inslee and Larson here for you. And I would just encourage you all to look over it and to help us get this, you know, this law back in effect. It was in effect from 1933 until 99, and we did not have the too big to fail crisis at that in those years. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Joseph Fugate.
Good evening. Thanks for allowing me to speak. My name is Joseph Fugate. I'm the president of Seattle. That's my address for it. So I work with Siri also with the LaRouche Political Action Committee. And I guess I'll just say that we are in a transatlantic collapse. It's really characterized by a hyperinflationary breakdown of the whole financial system. And if you look at what happened to Argentina in 2001, when they had hyperinflation there, when that took off within a matter of days because of the breakdown that happens in transportation and so forth, food was not on the shelves at all. And you had mass starvation actually happen. And they are still recovering from what happened then. So we're looking at that kind of process happening right now, breaking out of Europe, especially, and also being here. So the Glass-Steagall Act, I don't know if you guys remember, this was back in place. This is the 1933 Banking Act that Roosevelt enacted, which totally separates all of the Wall Street-type banking, investment banking, speculation, completely outside. And if they go bankrupt, actually, they're on their own and they go bankrupt. And that's outside of our community banking, commercial banking activities under our commercial, or under our constitutional system of productive credit. That's absolutely necessary, not only to stop the hyperinflation, to cancel this illegitimate debt, valid debt, but it's also necessary because we have to establish our power of generating credit again, which is an essential power for us to be able to invest in family farms, industries, and also get the mass of the unemployed back to meaningful, useful work, which we can't do with large projects. You know, the states obviously need to be rebuilt, lumber infrastructure, and large projects like the Grand Coulee Dam, which are on the table, we can do that. So I just wanted to paint that little picture for you guys. I'll kind of one more thing, though. Today, we have the potential. If we get Glass-Steagall, we actually use our credit wisely. We could fund a system of satellites, multiple satellites, which we can use to detect precursors to earthquakes a few days before they happen. Because in the buildup of an earthquake, you have an electromagnetic potential that builds up, which causes disturbances throughout the entire atmosphere above the epicenter. Those can be detected a few days before they happen by multiple approaches. It's like an extended sensorium that we can use to detect this thing. So you can evacuate people out of the area. So that's just something of like what we can do in terms of where we should be going as human beings. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Fight to kick some butt in this congressman.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Wayne. Wayne Hill?
My name is Wayne Hill. My address is 13204, 110th Avenue, Southeast Monroe. And basically, I'm just related to this committee, and my concerns are basically described by these two people here. I was looking into the Glass-Steagall law that was enacted in 1933 that was somehow, I don't know, returned or what they did to it in 1999. But that was a law that had dragged the community back together with the banking and, you know, allowed people to have faith in our system and to grow. And the result of not having this in the banks deregulated, not regulated, and able to account for, have accountability for what they're doing is basically causing the collapse that we're having now. It's in really dire straits. And to get back to the Glass-Steagall formula, it would allow not only to us to regain hold on our America and our morals as a moral country to moving forward and not letting millions of people starve, which is really starting to happen right now. I volunteer at various food banks, and I already know that they're turning people away, and that's just the very beginning because of this hyperinflation, because of speculations by the bank. I would urge the committee to once again get in touch with Jay Inslee, Congressman, and Rick Larson, and let them know where we stand. We're in a really, really deep crisis, and there's a way out of it, and people just have to not be afraid anymore to stand up and do what they need to do. You know, our ship is sinking, and we really, really, really got a good grip on it, and I think this is one of the only ways to do it, and we have to have the courage.
Thank you.
That is all I had this evening for those who have signed up, but I do want to open up to the members of the chambers here this evening, or the citizens who are attending this night. If you would like to address council, please may come to the podium. And Mr. Buck, would you mind? Okay.
Good evening. My name is Lamar Clark, and I live at 303 South Lakely Street, Denver, Maryland. And I was just following up on an email that I sent last week regarding access, especially in the downtown area, with my wheelchair and stuff. There's a few intersections where there isn't access and a few that I feel are unsafe. And I just wanted to follow up and see if you all have had any thoughts about that, or what are your plans?
No, that's fine. Thank you for coming this evening, and we do have your name and information. I'm not aware of that at this point in time, but we definitely will have our city engineer get back with you tomorrow. Will that work?
Yes, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming.
Anyone else in the audience who'd like to address council? This time we will move on to the business and action items. First up is the consent agenda. Is there anything that would, Councilmember Williams?
I'd like to pull number 3.
Okay. Anything else? Do I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1, 2, and 4?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Councilmember Steinman and seconded by Councilmember Cuddeback to approve consent agenda items 1, 2, and 4. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Councilmember Williams?
Yeah, I understand the reason why we have to repeal the solicitation ban. I'm wondering if there's something we can do to discuss a rewriting it to make it constitutional. So that we don't just throw the whole thing out. I mean, I understand we have to do that right now, but could we get something on the agenda to where we could address it to see if we can reword it so that it is, that it does follow the law?
We actually do have it on the agenda for next week.
Okay. Then I will vote to approve consent agenda item number 3.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Councilmember Williams, seconded by Councilmember Gearing to approve consent agenda item number 3. Any other comments or questions? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Thank you. Okay. Get up here to the cover sheet. First on final action this evening is an ordinance approving revenue bonds for utility capital improvements. Second and final reading. Diane?
We had the bond sale this morning, and Dave Tracer, Dan Anderson is here, our bond underwriter. And Dave, you want to quick just say?
Hi, good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Dave Tracer, so also. It is a pleasure to be on the writer. As an update to our, when I was here a week ago, we had the first reading of the bond ordinance. We're here for the finalization of the issuance and sale of the revenue bonds. We participated with our bond sale this morning, and I will say that, you know, one advantage of our slow economic times is that we're 40-year lows in interest rates. The city benefited by that. It's a good name in the credit markets. It's AA rating that we talked about in the last meeting. I'll help this market pause this morning, subject to your consideration tonight. And as of this afternoon, we have approximately $15 million of the $15.26 million bonds placed with investors around the country. You can imagine the people that stepped up to bought some of your bonds this morning: State Farm Insurance, Franklin Fund, Wells Fargo, Northern Trust, J.D. Morgan Investments, Smith Barney, U.S. Bank. Most people stepped up to a lot of bonds, put them in their inventory, and that's a reflection of the city's credit rating, the disclosure document that was prepared. And with that, I made a verbal offer to finalize the transaction this morning, and make a verbal award from Diane, subject to your final written award tonight. I put together a little summary here. I'll just quickly go over a few things and answer any questions you may have. When I was here last week, I estimated the true interest cost, which is the average rate of the bonds, to be about 4.02%. The market held steady, and funny as it may seem, the true interest cost was 4.018. And that's the fixed 20-year rate on the bonds. Page 2 shows a comparison of your bonds and other bonds that are in the market this week and last week. They show, I won't go through all these numbers, there's many on this page. It shows the yields for the amounts to investors. And then we do a comparison with what we call the MMD, which is a municipal market data. It's a benchmark of AAA rated bonds as published on a daily basis. And so we can compare how your bonds are priced versus other bonds that are priced today and in the last 2 weeks. And there are a number of bond issue comparables here. One for City of Tucson, which issued bonds a couple days ago, Birmingham, Alabama, City of Garland, Texas. The most direct comparable is the City of Wenatchee, which are some issued bonds almost identical to yours, which are AA rated water sewer revenue bonds. And you can see that the spread to the MMD, that differential, is almost identical on your bonds to theirs. In the lower years, yours were actually a little bit lower in yield. So we think the bond sale went well this morning. The sources and uses are on page 3. Again, very similar to what I mentioned yesterday. We're asking for your authorization for $15.26 million of bonds. Bond investors are actually paying a premium of $385,000. So with your reserve that you currently have, which was, you may recall, that is overfunded. You guys were able to score away all that money for your reserve account. You can see the total sources of $17.7 million there. We will deposit $15.6 million for the sewer storm water projects at closing, which will be on the 28th, 2 weeks from today. We'll wire transfer the proceeds to your depository, so that I can invest those proceeds as you need them for the project. And then your reserve will have an amount of $1.98 million, and the cost of issuance are listed. You can see the sources equals $17.7 million. All the details of the bonds are on the final two pages. Again, the bond yields, the principal amounts. The actual debt service schedule is on page 5. It shows that this is a level. Debt service payment over 20 years, about $1.16 million. The first interest payment will be in a year from now, June of next year. Your bond counsel, Nancy Naris at Foster Pepper, has prepared a final form of the bond ordinance. All the numbers are completed based on the pricing this morning. I reviewed this, and it looks good to me, and I recommend moving on it. But I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have about that document or the offering document. The bond ordinance is the only action item that you're going to do tonight. It authorizes the mayor to execute the bond purchase agreement, which I have here ready to sign. And that will finalize the transaction for our closing on the 28th. So, if you have any questions, please let me know.
Councilmember Gearing?
I don't see any other lights, so I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to accept a second and final reading. Ordinance 15-2011, authorizing the issuance and sale of water and sewer revenue bonds of the city in the aggregate principal amount of $15,260,000 to provide funds to make improvements to water, sewer, and storm drainage system of the city, providing the terms and covenants of the bonds and combining the city's water and sewer system and the storm drainage system for financing purposes.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Bonk for ordinance number 015/2011. I will have the city administrator read the official title of the ordinance at this time.
An ordinance authorizing the issuance and sale of water and sewer revenue bonds of the city in aggregate principal amount of $15,260,000 to provide funds to make improvements to the water and sewer storm management system of the city, providing the terms and covenants of the bonds and combining the city's water, sewer system, and the storm drainage utility for financing purposes.
Council, any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we will take a vote on the motion. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Dave, anything else?
Thank you, Mayor. I need just 1 minute of your time to sign and execute 3 BPAs.
I'm going to run to the restroom.
Comments or?
No, I'm just glad we've got the financing going so now we can proceed with the capital improvements.
Great. Thank you, Diane, for your work. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Okay, we will move on here. Next in line for final action is number 2, filling city council vacancies. Explain the process here, if I may. Here in the chambers this evening. We will have a 15-minute time limit per candidate, including candidate presentation and council questions. Each council member has a question to ask. We have 6 here tonight for each candidate. Maximum of 2 minutes for each question and follow-up in response and follow-up question. And we do have a time warning given during the last 2 minutes of each interview. For each of the candidates this evening, you're reminded that you must commit considerable personal time to be in a council member, and you must be able to meet Tuesday night meetings. Okay. With that said, I'll go in the order that I was given here by Edie. We'll go that. What's that?
I think we had the candidates.
Two candidates
left, so they didn't hear the question prepared.
Okay, that's right. So we will have the candidates come before council this evening individually, and then we'd like to ask that the other two candidates for this evening, if you would step out of the office. And so first tonight would be James Camp, and we'd like to ask Kevin Hanford and Jill Ruth if you might exit the chambers. Please.
Shut the door there, too.
Okay. Well, good evening. Welcome. Thank you for your interest in the positions this evening. Are those on out in the
lobby? The lobby's off.
Okay. So with that said, we will begin with an introduction, if you might, and then we'll have council ask questions. Council, just one clarifying, would you like to just go in order from left to right this evening, or?
And then we can reverse order next time.
Reverse order next time?
Sure.
Start in the middle. Okay, third.
Should I stop?
We'll have an introduction by Mr. Camp first. We are ready.
Thank you. Dear members of the council, thank you for this opportunity. For those of you who don't know, my name is James Campbell. My family and I have been residents of Monroe for about 14 years. We came here for the affordable housing, the attractions, and as being a great place to start a family. When we lived here, I had hoped to become more involved with volunteering and community affairs. And as time permitted with small children in the long commute, I did manage to get involved in volunteer work with the Chamber of Commerce and other activities. Last year, I was fortunate to be appointed to the Planning Commission and began learning much about the city, what issues were faced, and how they were being addressed. As part of my training for the Planning Commission, I began attending council meetings on a regular basis. My goal was to see how the Planning Commission decisions were implemented and how the council was directing the Planning Commission. As I watched the council in action, I noticed that while there are a few highly visible issues, most of the work involved less glamorous items like fence heights, animal control, and wastewater treatment. Things would still dramatically affect our quality of life daily here in the borough. It became apparent that an effective member of the council needs to have a desire to serve, an interest in the smaller as well as the larger issues of the city, and the ability to gather and understand the information to make the best possible decision. I know I have the desire and the interest, and I believe I have the ability. My professional background includes project management, customer and technical support. I have successfully worked with, supported, or managed people from a wide range of backgrounds, skill levels, and locations. So I believe I can understand the issues involved with the city, listen to the input from all parties involved, and take the proper steps to make the best possible decision. My education has given me basic information in a wide range of areas, including technical, business, and legal procedure. While I am not an expert in all of these fields, I believe I can ask intelligent questions, and if not completely understand the answer, know where I need to go if you have more information. So, why would I ask to join the council? As I mentioned before, I have an interest in the issues affecting the town and a desire to serve. There are a lot of people in Monroe that have good ideas to make this a better place. I would like to reach out to them, find out what they would like in their city, and work with them through the council to achieve these goals. Monroe has some big opportunities in the future based on its location and the people who live here. I've been extremely fortunate to live in this great city and would like to contribute to its continued growth and prosperity.
Thank you. Mr. Ball?
The first question, why are you interested in serving on the Monroe City Council?
Well.
Would it like to be the last paragraph?
Again, the opportunity to watch you serve, to watch the council members serve, has really been impressive to me. And as I've been on the Planning Commission, people have come to me, probably not as much as they come to you, and made suggestions or questions about how the city works. I like that. I would like to be able to bring more of that type of information back to the city and present it and see if we can do something with it. A simple thing like the second fountain at the lake. I've heard people mention, I've mentioned to people that it would be a great idea. And that's a really simple, well, in my opinion, it's a simple thing that we can do this for the city.
So the second question is, what relevant education, training, skills, and experience would you bring to the council?
Like I said, I've had a lot of communication skills working with many diverse groups. At my last major employer, a bank which went belly up in downtown Seattle, we worked extensively with a lot of people from India. So part of my goal was to bring them online and up to speed. I've also had to work with end users, clients who have limited experience with whatever project we're working on, and make sure I understand what they need and get that information to them. Technical experience. Again, I have just started a paralegal program. It was really incredible watching the quasi-judicial process that went on in this chamber, to watch the appellate process for another issue I think we had last year. I think I can bring that. I can bring a better understanding, or at least a little bit more of a run-up on being able to understand some of the issues that are going on.
Thank you, Mr. Simon. Councilmember Simon.
Please describe how you would see your role as a council member.
As a connection to the community, as a way of getting the information from people and bringing it to the council. Maybe a conduit would be the best way to phrase it.
How would you create a positive, productive interaction among council or during council meetings?
I think having watched the council, I've seen disagreements. And I think it's really important that you be able to have disagree without being disagreed. Personalities get involved sometimes, and I understand that. But it's really imperative that you bring a sense of wanting to do what's best for the city and maintaining that kind of an attitude while you serve on council.
Good evening, Jim. I said good evening.
Good evening.
What is your vision for the city of Monroe, and how would you accomplish or implement it?
I have always wondered why Monroe sits at the nexus of three highways. Why don't we have more things here for people to have a reason to come in and be entertained, spend money, education? I've seen some of the things start, but I've always wondered why we don't have more. My goal, what I would really like to see is, and I've heard it before, a destination point. I think it would be important to have people from up the mountain and the south come to Monroe for whatever activity would be required. We're also, as far as I know, really the first major city between here and Wenatchee. So we've got that entire area. We also have everything west. I mean, we're the land, like I said, the last major town, towards the hills.
Thank you.
To you, what is the most important issue or problem facing the city of Monroe, and how would you like to seek to solve it or them?
The most most important issue right now is revenue. There's an enormous amount of debt that has to be dealt with. There are services that we'd like to continue to provide. I believe Salton has stopped their police department, or ended their police department. I believe Snohomish was looking at it due to revenue issues. I would hate to see Monroe end up like that. Again, if we had a destination, a reason for people to come here and spend money, we'd be able to increase our, or at least maintain our services and hopefully increase our service.
Good. Thank you. Do you have any questions of council?
One I've always wanted to ask, but never had an opportunity. So, you've been here for, some people may have to look back quite a few years to answer this question, but comparing what you expected on council and what you got on council, how does it compare? I mean, Councilmember Tuttle, you're the most recent. You probably have the most recent experience with that. Councilmember Walt, you might have to go back to Walt and find out something. If I'm putting you on the spot, I apologize. I will draw the question. I was just curious.
No, you're just taxing my memory. That's what was the biggest surprise? For me, myself, none. It's pretty much what I expected. I had attended enough council meetings. I had interacted enough with city council members in the past. I had enough issues that I had raised that I had brought before council to act upon that I didn't have any surprises. It's none that I remember.
We won't put all of council on the spot. We only have 2 minutes left, but we'll leave it open to anyone who might want to.
I'll take it. Two things. One is I started attending 6 months before I got elected, so I kind of was able to hit the ground a little bit running. And one of the biggest surprises is a lot of things I thought I knew, once I got on, I realized I didn't know. People will tell you, well, this person has this agenda or this person has that agenda. And you really find out that everyone up here, although we disagree on issues, we agree more often than we disagree. And I think that the general consensus is the people that are up here do it because they want to serve. So that was a big eye-opener for me. And then the other thing is that we don't always have control over every option we get to vote on. So a lot of times we're asked to vote on option A or B, even though we would like to vote on option C. It's not available for either legal reasons, financial reasons, and sometimes the public doesn't see that, and so we take a lot of heat from certain members of the public. That is not often fair, but it's part of the job, and you got to deal with that. So,
I just want to make one comment. You always hear these comments about public being apathetic or not caring about what's going on. I find that to be completely untrue. I think part of it is on council to be out reaching out to public and asking their opinion. And so many people care deeply about this community and want to have input. They might be limited in time and resources and kind of know how to do it. But if you go and you ask them their opinion or you ask them, suggestions, they have some. And I found that out doorbelling is people really do care and they have an opinion about a lot of stuff. So it's whether they take the next move and run for office or get involved at a committee level. But people do care. So that is completely opposite of what I've been told.
I'll just quickly say that it's not nearly as political as it's made out to be. As a matter of fact, it's quite administrative sometimes, which is quite a bit surprised to me. I came on at a highly political time, but there are issues which garner a lot of attention, but that's not really the norm on a week to week basis. So that was I've noticed that along the way.
Councilor,
I would say the economy determines a lot of what you can and can't do. And I came on at a time when we were just at the end of a decent economy, and there's a lot of things that I would have liked to have done that we just simply couldn't, and that it's been a challenge facing the financial difficulties and cutbacks and things like that. They were painful in many ways. I especially think of The Y funding was probably one of the toughest for me. And so you come in with a certain expectation, but then you get a realization when profits are, revenues are down and things like that. You have to make choices that you really don't want to have to make.
I was wrong. We had
well,
5 minutes.
You said we weren't going to go around the room, but I guess we are. I agree, and I would have gone with what Councilmember Williams said if I went after Councilmember Balk, but the misinterpretation of the public, I think, and some of the misinformation and misunderstanding of motives and personalities was not what I expected, but I guess you learn to live with it and figure out how to best represent without coming under, without taking that on too personally or taking it home with you.
Well, with 30 seconds left, we appreciate the opportunity of having you present this evening and coming before us, and especially your interest in the role. With that said, we'll during this portion have you step out, and if you might, the next person, Kevin Hamburg.
I got you back for the strike through.
You may stand there, or you may sit there if you like.
Sure.
So if you'd like, I'd like to offer you a time to be able to provide us with a little bit of background information about yourself, and then we've got some questions that council members will ask. We'll begin with Councilmember Kierman. All right, so Mr. Hanford, time is yours.
Okay, thanks. My name is Kevin Hanford. Do you have copies of the cover letter and the resume?
We do, yeah.
Okay.
We do.
So basically, I've been in this city now in the area for 16 years or so, as it says there. I absolutely love the city, and I don't know if you know my father, Michael Hanford, who's one of the chaplains for the police and fire here in town. I've worked alongside of him. I was formerly the music director at a church with under his leadership, and helped plan the police back-to-school prayer rallies. The 9/11 memorial prayer service was part of all the planning for that, and honoring the different people in town here and supporting the schools and all that. So you can see the list there, but basically just to show that, you know, my heart is for the city, and I care deeply for the city. And, you know, as far as my background, I've been in automotive management for 16 years. I'm an accredited automotive manager, and so I dealt with gross profit and worrying about the bottom line, things like that. As I said, I was a music director for our local church for 12 years or so, and so I, as a volunteer staff member of the church, was very active in planning things like that and making decisions. I also volunteered as for the neighborhood association and had some experience with working with other people there and making decisions. And so I also, the last thing on the list there is I organized for our school as the auction chair. There's a team that we had working together. We were able to put on this auction for 5 years and raise lots of money to benefit the school and help with scholarships and things. So I love being with people, I love helping people, and I really want to just serve the city the best way that I can. And when I found out about the different positions that were open, you know, I really jumped at the chance because that had been something I've been thinking about for a while. And I thought about it previously, and when the opening came, I thought, I want to do this. I know that I'm probably the least involved in politics and things like that than the other two people that are here tonight. And I respect that. I'm also running in the fall, so if this doesn't work out tonight, you know, I'm not going to be all bummed because I'm hoping to be here serving with you this fall. So.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Gary?
Great, thanks. Why are you interested in serving on the Monroe City Council?
I really want to make a difference for the city, and I see it as a way these different areas that I've been volunteering are great ways to help with the community, but you know, it's not a, you can't legislate from there and help make different decisions for the city, so by getting involved in this area, I feel like I can help make this city better, and I'm not planning on moving anywhere or going anywhere, and I want to continue to see it thrive and develop in a good way.
Thank you.
Councilman Hurry.
Good evening, Kevin. What relevant education, training, skills, and experience would you bring to council?
The training that I received to become a credit automotive manager. I also attended a Victory Leadership Institute and for 2 years got a certificate of completion where I studied management, conflict resolution, applied integrity, leadership for teams and organizations, effective communication and ethics. My experience with working with the different auction teams and pulling things together, working with various groups to see things done. I think with all of that, plus my business experience in management for automotive repair shops for 15 years, will really help me.
Thank you.
Good evening. How do you see your role as a council member?
Coming in without experience in council previously, I really want to just learn, and you know, obviously there's a learning curve there, and know that I'm not the one that's going to really make this huge impact right off the bat, but what I really want to do is help bring cohesion to the team, and so that we work together as a team and make the best decisions possible for the city. And a lot of times that work will help bring people together so that we can come to see your agreements and disagreements and work through those.
How would you create positive, productive interaction among the council or during council meetings?
I like to think that I can listen and hear what people are saying behind the lines, behind what they're saying, what they really are trying to get across. And so hopefully through the citizen, we're listening to citizens and listening to different council members, we'll be able to help work through the discussions that are occurring so that we really understand what's going on and really understand the opinions that are being expressed. And
Mayor, are we allowed to ask a follow-up in 2 minutes?
That's council.
I think it says 2 minutes, right? Maximum 2 minutes each question and follow-up question.
We didn't do it before. I don't know if we're going to be the same, exact same on all three. Then if there's time, should we do it at the end, perhaps? Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
What is your vision for the city of Monroe, and how would you accomplish it?
I want to see the area over by the theater continue to be developed and finished and become a place where we can shop and take families to, like, was kind of the original goal, and see all that done. I know we were hit by the economic crisis and all that, but I'd love to see things finished. And be able to complete how our city, it's like, I feel like because of the economic crisis, it's like everything kind of got, you know, on hold. And I understand that. But see that come to fruition and really see the city thrive and continue to thrive and build and grow. I love the place, so I want to just see it grow and continue to get better and better and
thank you.
Succeed, you know.
To you, what is the most important issue or problem facing the city of Monroe, and how would you seek to solve them?
I think the most important issue right now is the red light cameras issue that's going on. I believe the way to solve it would be to address the city with, and all I know is from what I've read in the longer, so assuming that everything is correct, address the
city. That's a big assumption. You were thinking it.
I didn't say that thing. I didn't say it.
But really, to communicate to the citizens, if we are going to bail out of the 3-year contract, what is going to be the cost if we really just pull the cameras and then put that to the vote so that the citizens can decide whether they want to really lose however many hundreds of thousands of dollars by inking the cameras now, or wait to see the 3-year commitment be fulfilled, and then make a decision whether to keep them or remove them.
Thank you.
Mr. Hanford, do you have any questions of council this evening?
I don't.
We do have a follow-up question.
Do we have time?
By Mr. Simon, we have 4 minutes.
In this particular setting, you don't always make the greatest of friends. No matter which side you may come down on some issues. How have you dealt with in the past when you've had to make unpopular choices, if there's been a time?
Anytime in leadership, there's numerous times that you have to make those decisions. There's numerous times where you deal with people who like the decision and people who don't like the decision. So I've been there many times. You learn that for certain people, you have to just brush that off and realize that some people are just not going to ever be satisfied. And then you also have the true legitimate concerns. And so as a leader, you have to listen carefully, hear them out. And if there is change that needs to occur, then, and if you're able to make the change, then make that. And if you're not, then you have to live with that decision and move on.
Thank you.
Okay. Any last comments to the council this evening?
No.
All right. Cool. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Kevin.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
Appreciate your interest as well. If you'd ask Ms. Ruth to join us, that'd be great. Thank you.
Starting in the middle this time. Somebody start in the middle.
If you'd like to join at the podium or at the table, you may do either.
Okay. Oh, we'll hear you. Yeah, we'll hear you. We'll hear you fine.
I'm loud enough anyway. So, I'm Jill Ruth. Good evening. So, I've lived in the Monroe city limits for almost 20 years. This is my home. This is where I work and live and shop. I'm 42 years young and I'm a mother. And my youngest son is an Excel student in the Monroe School District. And the Rotary Miracle Field is dedicated to my son, Zach, who had special needs. I'm currently a college student and I'm studying financial management, and I'm also the Rotary Club of Monroe's president this year. I am a community service leader who is open, honest, physically and mentally competitive. I'm strong-willed, very strong-willed. I'm able to think creatively and critically. My critical thinking is one of my best attributes, and I'm not prone to make snap decisions, but I don't take an excessive time to understand the facts and to come to a conclusion. I have a strong moral compass that helps to guide me and for me to understand what is important. What others say about me, of course I pick people who like me. What others say about me is that I have the patience of Job. I would be great on the city council. I'm intelligent, fun, devoted. I bring great energy and I honor my commitments. And I'm also a firm believer in the motto of Rotary, service above self. Why I'm interested in Margie Rodriguez's unexpired term is that I feel that I'm the most logical, rational extension of Margie, with a public service record that backs me up. As a woman, I'm the closest thing to what the voters had elected in Margie Rodriguez. I'm educated, and I'm even more business-minded. I'm active and admired in this community. I have no hidden agenda, and I have won awards for my community service leadership and as a community service director. I have formal leadership training, budget training, and budget experience. Appointing me would be your best choice because I'm not running for council in this upcoming election. I have a lot to offer this evening. As someone who has lived in Monroe for almost 20 years, I'm very involved. I'm experienced with budgets and financial management. I have 9 years of community service with the Rotary Club of Monroe, and I stay up on what's going on in the community, even if it's not something that benefits me or affects me. I also have a love for the city. I enjoy serving the people, and I understand the needs of the people of Monroe. I have years of experience with dealing with the planning, permitting, and zoning. I have experience with grants, the county, state legislature, the YMCA, Boys and Girls Club, Food Banks of Monroe and Sultan, the Women's Shelter, the Senior Center, the Monroe School District, Chamber, local businesses, Cocoon House, Housing Hope, and Matthew House. My relationships are positive, long-lasting, and they are beneficial. I take pride in being a credible person. There are very few organizations that do not already have this relationship with in the city of Monroe. I'm familiar with the Roberts Rules of Order, and choosing me would flatten the learning curve as a new council member. The topics that the council will be addressing during my stint are police, public safety, traffic, land sales, and the upcoming budget, and I'm here to help with all of those. The budget, this is what I'm training for. I love this work. And as a mom, a business owner, a wife, and a leader of a community organization, I understand the economical challenges out there. I understand that the budget is a wish list of numbers and expenses with projections of what is believed to come in during the year. These challenges of the down economy have been tough on all of us. Businesses have suffered, families are struggling, and community service organizations have been working harder with less to fill greater needs. If we work together positively to reach these goals, we will get ahead. On a personal, professional, and community service level, we've met these challenges, and I believe maybe we haven't won every battle, but we'll win the war. Very few people have come out of this tough economical time unscathed, but if they have, they're blessed. The police and public safety is a huge concern to me as a resident, a mother, home, and business owner. We need to find a way to best be served with the money that we pay. Traffic, we have it. Don't need it, and I wish we could sell it and balance the city budget. We need to keep in mind, though, that cars mean that they mean money and they bring business to our local community. But on the other hand, traffic is an aggravation. Land sales, I have a real estate license that at this time isn't active, but I'm very familiar with land sales and acquisition due to a family business. Once again, I'm a community leader. I have a long history of service. I'm an individual who is independent in my thinking and reasoning. I am currently pursuing a degree in finance that I feel will be a benefit to the city and council, especially at the time of the city, upcoming city budget. I'm a staunch defender of the Constitution, and I want all of you to view me for who I am, my past, my experiences, my successes, and contributions to the cities and to others that I'm proud and have to offer to the city. An appointment by the council to someone who is running opposed for the position of the council could be seen as an endorsement and could be considered unethical. And that is my piece. So you have questions for me, right?
Yeah. Begin with Councilmember Ball.
Sure.
Hold on. Many of the questions I think have been answered.
Start on that side again. That's fine.
Why are you interested in serving in the Monroe City Council? Remember, you only have 2 minutes this time.
Interested. And Why am I interested to serve?
I'm sorry to say that we've only got 5 minutes left in the process.
Okay. There's a need. I feel that I'm the most logical extension of Margie Rodriguez. Being a woman, I'm very, very involved in the city. And I really feel that I could step right in and just kind of head up where she's left off without too much training. And I do have a little bit of experience, a little bit of knowledge from maybe someone I live with.
Thank you.
What relevant education, training, skills, and experience would you bring to the council?
I have experience with budgets. I'm the current president of the Rotary Club of Monroe. And during my service with them for 9 years, I've sat on every board that they have. And I've been formally trained through what's called PETS. It's a presidential election training, where we train on budgets, finance, leadership training. And I'm also a college student, which I find is just amazing to the quality of education that I'm getting and the skills that I'm getting just from school. And I'm a business owner, so I've had to have all the skills of finance and money.
Please describe how you see your role as a council member.
Long Tuesday nights without coffee.
We can bring coffee.
I see me as someone who represents the people, someone who needs to be a good listener, be available, and be dependable, and, you know, try to work for the majority.
Welcome. How would you create a positive, productive interaction among council during council meetings?
I am positive. I do that naturally. Whatever that is, I bring energy to wherever I am. I tend to be just a really happy person, and I see the good in things, and I have a very positive attitude. I love to serve. I mean, my history shows that. I serve, and I pay to serve, which is kind of crazy. So those would be different for me.
Thank you.
Good evening, Jill. What is your vision for the city of Monroe, and how would you accomplish or implement it?
My vision for the city would not be able to be accomplished in 6 months. I would, the vision for the city I'd like the people here to feel like they're heard and that what they say means something and that the city is moving in a positive direction. If I could just be a piece of that, you know, add that little bit, help move in that direction. That's what I could see being done in 6 months.
Thank you.
To you, what is the most important issue or problem facing the city of Monroe, and how would you seek to solve it?
Oh, budget. Money is always the hugest problem. You know, as a mom, business person, my degree's in financing, I'm pretty good with figuring out how to spend money the right way, save money, cut back, but I'm also very good at coming up with ways to earn money and create money.
Thank you.
Boy, we got through that quick. Not much.
Is our time up?
So we do have time, but I would like to ask first, do you have any questions of council?
Lots of questions for the council. That's something that I just ask that you first tonight just consider me for who I am, for me. And I mean, I know you're all familiar with my husband, who is obviously a great man. But that I'm an individual person and an individual thinker. So just that you consider me for me and who I am and my accomplishments and what I've done.
Follow up?
Yeah. You made the statement in your introduction that you were the best choice because you aren't running. Can you explain why you think coming on for 6 months and not having a longer-term goal makes you the best choice?
An appointment of the council for another person would be an endorsement of their election. So if I don't feel that a council should pick the person who's going to fill the seat for the next 2 years, and having me come in just makes it logical. I'm a service person. I give and give. It just makes sense to put a woman where a woman was. It you know, it levels out the council itself. And that it will be a good ethical decision for the council to do that. I think it would look good for you guys. It would not endorse a candidate that could be an ethical thing, an unethical thing.
Okay. Do you have any other comments, closing comments for the council?
I do. I just have a little thing to say.
And we have 3 minutes.
Thank you. So I've been in this community for 20 years as a hardworking community service volunteer and leader. I've been trained in finance, leadership, fundraising, and budgeting. I have a track record of reliability, honesty, and commitment. I work hard, plan well, and enjoy serving. I work, live, and shop in Monroe. I pay to volunteer and give back to the community. Imagine what I could do if I wasn't being charged.
Excuse me.
I'm the best fit for the position of Council Seat 6, and if you want something done, ask a busy woman.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate your coming tonight and for your interest in the role.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Yep.
What's that?
Do I need to go out?
We're going to have
actually, everybody is going
to. Actually, we're going to go into executive session for so that they can deliberate on the qualifications of the candidates. And council, how long do you believe you will need for that executive session?
15 minutes.
15 minutes.
Well, we can always extend, right?
We can extend, absolutely. Okay. Well, with that said, at the end of the presentations here now, we will go into executive session for deliberation on the qualifications. Okay, we're back in session. The executive session purpose of discussion that took place was for the purpose of dialogue and discussion with regards to the candidates' qualifications. At this time now, as a result of that discussion, council has the duty to appoint one of the candidates to the open seat left by Councilmember Rodriguez. That process will be that at this time each council member has a ballot in front of them that they will write the name of the candidate on that ballot that they would like to appoint, and then you pass those ballots to myself, and I'll read both the council member's name and the person that they are voting for. The individual who's chosen must be approved by a majority, and that would be four members of council tonight. If that cannot be done on the first vote, we will take a second vote. We may have additional deliberation and could go back into executive session. In the event after the second vote, if there is a 3-3 tie, the process at that point would be the tiebreaker. Tie-breaking vote would be left up to myself, the mayor. Okay, with that said, I will ask council to Councilmember Ball.
Well, thank you. We do also have the opportunity, if we would like to share any information or insights at this time, too. At least we have in the past. Thank you. All three candidates, I appreciate they stepping forward and putting their name in and willing to serve on our council. Two of them, and I don't think we could go wrong with any of them, but two of them are running for office. And as I sat on here on the council through many elections, at least six, that I always felt that we need to stay as far distant from being involved in elections as possible. So since I remember a former mayor getting dinged by PDC for using his office for an election. With that said, I'm going to be writing the name of Jill Ruth in this my ballot, because the other two candidates are running. They are fine people. I appreciate that they are running and put their name here, but considering the qualifications of all, that I rather put someone's name who is not running for office.
Thank you, Councilmember Ball. Councilmember Simon?
Just a point of order. If after the first ballot three people receive a vote, the person who has the least amount drops off then on the second ballot, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutterback?
Thank you. I just wanted to respond to Councilmember Ball's comments, because I do believe that, you know, that's worthy of a discussion. I disagree with that comment. I don't feel by appointing a person for the next 6 months that we are endorsing them in an election. We are looking at strictly the three candidates before us, and none of them are running against each other in the election. One is not running, two are running for different spots, so I don't think we are endorsing any one candidate. We are, in my mind, we are truly looking at this next 6 months, and out of these three candidates, who can fill the position the best for the next 6 months. So I just want to make it very clear, by who I pick tonight, it is not an endorsement in the election.
Thank you, Councilmember Kittiman. Councilmember Simon?
Thank you, Mayor. I also would like to mention that I do not believe that it's an unfair advantage for anybody if they may or may not be picked this evening if they are running for office, because everyone had the same opportunity who is running for office to submit their name also if they would have liked to have been here and be considered for this position to fill it ahead of time. So I do not believe it's an unfair advantage. Everybody had the same opportunity to put their name in by the deadline last week. So just wanted to make that clear.
Okay, any other comments? No. Council, I'd ask that you'd write the name, the individual, and I'll take those.
I got three ballots. Did I get three votes then?
Yes.
The backup ballot.
Oh, dang.
Because we needed them last time.
Yeah, we were crossing out names last time and reusing. It's good for the environment. Okay. All right. Councilmember Steinman votes for James Camp. Councilmember Ball votes for Jill Ruth. Councilmember Tuttle votes for Jim Camp. Councilmember Williams votes for Jim Camp. Councilmember Cutterback votes for Jim Camp. Councilmember Gearing votes for Jim Camp. That is a majority vote. The result of the vote is 5-1. So with that said, congratulations. We'll go out to Mr. Camp for his appointment. I would also like to say that I am appreciative and thankful for the other two candidates who sought the role this evening. There you are. I need my glasses again. I was looking for you. With all sincerity, appreciate the your presentations tonight and your willingness to serve this community, the wonderful community that we have. I think that Councilmember Balk said it well in saying that all three of the candidates this evening would have brought a very beneficial, supportive, and what's the word? It would have been good for council had any of the three been appointed tonight. So with that, but with that said, Councilmember, or yeah,
well, not quite yet.
Mr. Camp, you know, remind me if we did we immediately?
No, we waited.
Did not.
I think Councilmember Tuttle wanted to have family,
yeah,
the opportunity for family to come. I think you have, didn't you have
no,
family?
No, I think it was just late, and you guys said do it next
we'll
week.
Do it next week. Well, it's not too late tonight, but I do want to give the opportunity for Mr. Camp, if he would like to be sworn in this evening, we might do so. If not, we could wait till the beginning of next week's meeting. That would allow for your family to be here if you'd like, and friends. The choice is
yours. Also give him a chance to prepare for the council's
absolutely
agenda.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
I would love to start tonight, but if, it would make more sense to start next week.
Make more sense.
Well, I will say that tonight the only discussions that we have left are study sessions topics. So nothing will be made in terms of decisions. So if well, then I'm going to respond in saying that we'll welcome that, and we'll have a swearing in if you like. So I'll ask you to come to the front, and we'll provide you with the oath. Anywhere you like. Okay. This is the oath of office. If you'd like, you may raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, James Camp.
I, James Camp.
Do solemnly swear.
Solemnly affirm.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
And the laws of the United States.
And the laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
Constitution.
And the laws of the State of Washington. And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
And impartially.
And impartially.
Perform and discharge.
Perform and discharge.
The duties of the office.
Of
City of Monroe.
Of City of Monroe.
Council position number 6.
Council position number 6.
For the remainder of the term.
For the remainder of the term.
Ending on December 31st, 2011.
Ending on December 31st, 2011.
According to the law to the best of my ability.
According to the laws to the best of my ability.
Congratulations. With that said, I'm going to call for a 5-minute break. We do have a signature needed and allow for the audience to stretch their legs and counsel as well. Okay.
Do you want Jim to sit by you?
I'm sorry. I'm still just kind of stuck.
No.
Okay.
I don't want to fill your head.
So we are, back.
So now you've gone to public servant to public enemy number one.
And look how the chamber is cleared when Jim came on.
You have become unethical in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jim, you cleared out the chambers.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Self-serving person.
In a negative comment.
We'll call the order, the meeting back to order.
Okay.
We'd like to recognize that newly appointed Councilmember Camp has joined the session, and welcome Councilmember Camp. We didn't recess and come back prior to 8, but that's okay. We'll go on to the study session topics. And the first of which is the filling of the city clerk position. And Terry, I believe, has already passed out. Terry, do you have an extra copy for Councilmember Camp?
Here, he can have mine. Except I don't think I brought it with
me.
Terry has
it.
Here you have it, Terry.
We have it.
Here's another one.
I'll
get
you.
All over you.
No, we're fine.
No.
Boy.
Nice.
Hey, man, we're efficient.
Okay.
Be out of here before 9. That's it.
Okay, Terry?
Okay. Coming back before you for further discussion on our request to ask you to lift the hiring freeze in order to fill the public records officer position. This is a two-role position. The first part of that is with regard to the records officer. I believe that it will probably take this person the better part of a year to actually get in and look at our records at the city and get a centralized records management system. Makes for very inefficient use of staff time to search for records. In some cases, we don't have a very good retention system, and we just need to put forth the effort to strategically get this work done. And the best way to do that is to assign it to somebody who is skilled in doing that. And there are people out there that are skilled in records. The other part of this position is the city clerk position, which we're required to have. Currently, he's been filling it in an interim role, but it would actually do the city a great deal of good to have a full-time city clerk / public records officer. It will also cut down on attorney fees. Experience required, we would not have to be calling on staff all the time to review public records. And there are literally stacks and boxes of stuff that he pours through for us after we spend staff time, including Jane, police department, everybody pours over these records. And there are still some questions that we have because we don't have the expertise on staff all the time. So we're asking urgent need. We've got a staff member who's just about completely burned out, who offered to step in as a hire and fill the role. And it's taxing her. She's not able to focus on the duties that she was hired to do in the parks department. And we need to be strategic, I think, with regard to public records. In reviewing comparable cities. This is typically a management classification position. It would fit within our current salary structure at the base manager level, which starts out at $5,700 a month and goes up to $7,094 a month. With benefits, taking about 30% benefit package, that annually would calculate to about 85, just over 85,000 at the low end, up to 110,000 at the high end. The next question is, where would we get the money for this?
Yes,
confirm.
I did talk to Diane, and she looked in every direction.
and it was just lost a full idea. So there is not a funding source. It is a general fund position. The only thing we would have available at this time is a revenue stabilization funds, and we would have the ability to backfill those funds with utility and occupancy as the job. We see right now, we see that there's a lot of North Kelsey public records going out. So we would be able to look at how much time is spent on certain public records for certain projects, and we would be able to backfill the general fund with monies from those. It certainly is not the perfect situation, and it's hard for me to stand here before you and ask for a position and ask you to fill it with revenue stabilization funds. I can also tell you that it's not easy to not have this type of work be filled within the city. I think we need to take this very seriously and think through that if we fill a position.
Thank you, Terry. I would like also to say that without or to mirror what Terry said there, it is extremely difficult for me to bring and for staff to bring something to council, knowing that we don't have a revenue source at this point other than the stabilization fund. However, the cost that we've incurred so far this year, and with what we've seen in the arena of public records requests and action that has been taken against other cities due to those requests, the city of Gold Bar, for instance, is at the brink of potentially bankruptcy and decertification, specifically due to the costs associated around records requests and actions taken. This has become a trend that many people, and I'm not saying anybody has, but the potential exists where people would take advantage of a city's records keeping system and could potentially result in lawsuits against a city in insurmountable amounts. So with that said, I think that our only action is to help protect the city. And during the budgeting process this coming year, we will have discussions with regards to how we fund this role in 2012, and what actions might be needed then. Would you like to add anything else?
I would just like to say that the city clerk position is one of the required positions of a city. Edie's been filling that role on an interim basis since Betty King retired nearly 4 years ago. So since that time, we've had other employees step in and fill the role as far as records requests, and it has been taxing.
Sorry, I'm not sure who was first. Councilmember Ball?
Thank you. You said backfill. I was quite sure I understood what that meant. Are we going to use the stabilization fund and then you were going to backfill it? And you said North Kelsey. And I didn't know if that was from the permit process or from future sales tax. I just didn't. So anyway, that's my question.
That was one example that I pulled out. It may not have been the best example because I don't know how
The idea being is that sort of the backup position is the revenue stabilization fund. As the person does work through the year on a quarterly basis or something, we'll go through and see what they've actually spent their time on. And if they spent 50% of their time doing records disclosure requests concerning North Kelsey, then North Kelsey would be charged for that work. Or if they were doing it on the wastewater treatment plant, then the sewer fund would be paying for those hours.
So I understand that for utilities, that they have a separate source of funding, and it's adequate, more than adequate, and so that there's reserves and such that they can utilize to pay for that. So North Kelsey is the reserves that we have placed for North Kelsey. Is that what you're suggesting?
That's what.
Okay. And the other departments, such as police, parks, whatever, engineering, so when people do, and building department, because I remember many of the requests, as far as numbers, not many time, many of the requests is coming from the building department, if I remember correct. So that would be coming from general funds. So if we did analysis over the years, 2 or 3 years, what's the percentage makeup of all those of that? Because that would be helpful to see what the actual impact will be on general fund. And I realized that it would change from year to year, and so that's why I was suggesting to 2 or 3 years, at least get at least an idea how far in the hole we're going. Is that possible?
We do have a spreadsheet, I think, that goes back to 1997, the late
90s. Well, I don't want to go that far back, but just a reasonable amount of years that would give us an indicator that 20% of the requests are dealing with utilities, you know, something of that nature, so that we can have, if we do decide to go forward and this is how we're going to fund it, at least we'll have an idea how much is coming from utilities and how much it will be coming from the building department. And do we need to raise the permits fees to take that into consideration? And that might help us come to that. The other question, looking over the city clerk job description, it says, issue the oath of office to city officials. So are they, we had an oath of office given by the mayor. Is there any problems with that? Just curious, since that was the description of the city clerks.
Typically the city clerk would have the
authorized, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, I just didn't know if that was the requirement.
So. That is a typical.
The other question I have, in the past, the city clerk also was responsible for business licenses, and I realized that we have restructured it, so the state is handling much of that process.
Not really.
So who?
Use their software, basically.
Okay. Yeah. So I did not see that responsibility in the city clerk's position. Did I misread it?
No.
So that was purposely done.
We moved that out, and it seems to make more sense with the reorganization of the permitting center, is that all that stuff that people need to do to run businesses, get permits, and that is handled in the central location.
Okay. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you, Councilmember Balk. Chief Quinzer?
I'd like to clarify something that you mentioned. You mentioned the police department. We do our own public disclosure. So
okay, yes. Because of the confidentiality. Okay, no. Thank you.
Yeah, this that will be in the bullet point here. Under public records officer, function as a citywide contact and coordinator for all non. As I mentioned at the last time we got together about this, the police department does handle their own public records requests, and in fact, Sherry Simonson, who is in charge of that over there, she spends a great deal of time helping Denise, our employee on the city side, handle the city requests. And in addition to taxing Denise, it's also further burdening Sherry and the police department.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Okay, go ahead. Well, I do have a concern about lifting a hiring freeze for a position that we aren't able really to fund. But and not to be nitpicky, but the cover sheet we got said that this is a city clerk position, and then in the description there's a comment that it's legally required that we have a city clerk But then what we have here is about a city clerk slash public records officer, and it sounds like the burden, what I'm hearing is the burden is for the public records officer. So we're not actually not legal because we do have a city clerk, correct?
We have a person who is an interim city clerk, and she's been doing those duties.
Technically, I'm interim deputy city clerk. Yes.
So, and what's your position if you weren't the, if you didn't do the city clerk stuff, what would you, what would happen to Edie?
Edie's position is the administrative assistant to the city administrator.
Okay. Okay, and then I was...
So, and can I just answer
yes, yes, sorry.
About that? This position is a two-pronged position. While the initial exposure to this position is with regard to our records management system, the position is also a responsible party for the city clerk duties. And so we would have the luxury of Edie's knowledge to be able to pick up the city clerk duties that the city clerk would not be able to now, with me perhaps attending meetings, doing the minutes as she's doing right now. But the city clerk is still a responsible party. She would, or he would just designate those duties to be.
Okay, so I just following up with that though, can we not just hire a public records officer?
We can, but then we're still...
We don't still have an interim city clerk?
We would retitle
or deputy.
Or we would put it out.
I would just... I was wondering about the pay scale for a public records officer versus the... Yeah, I was just
it's
thinking.
A little... it would probably be a little less. However, in asking for our comparable cities to provide their information, all of their city clerks are also the public records officers.
Okay.
When you get into the bigger cities, they have a city clerk and a public records officer. So I wasn't able to break it out because they included.
Okay. Well, I do. I understand the need, and I hear that. But I also do have a concern about funding a position that we don't have funding for necessarily sustainable funding anyway.
City Administrator Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to address the city clerk function a bit more in greater detail, we're currently using Attorney Lell to put together the ordinances, the resolutions, things of that nature that our current staff don't have the expertise in doing. City clerk's job is to do those types of things. In addition to the questions we just asked this past week in regards to the upcoming elections, the city clerk would have a lot of that knowledge that we currently don't possess.
Okay.
So we'd see our attorney bills potentially go down. Well, they would go down because we'd be utilizing this person to provide those services.
I guess, and just to clarify, I was not confused, but the back and forth was because I was hearing that most of the need was for public records, but there's more to it than that.
Understood.
Yeah, and I think part of that came from my statements, you know.
A lot of it.
I think that I didn't mean to discount the need for the city clerk role. I just wanted to stress the potential liabilities that cities incur due to the number of public records requests that happen. I think our system is good. It's just very taxing on individuals who are performing dual roles, and to have somebody in that role would be most helpful. But I as I shared, I am as concerned about that funding source as you are. Councilmember Steinman?
Thank you, Mayor. I have a number of questions. Basically, we have to have somebody with the public records. This is a new problem that's really just is exponentially getting out of control. So to me, a hiring freeze that had been in place, this is something that we have to. As far as using the Revenue Stabilization Fund, One lawsuit cost us, what, $160,000 out of the revenue stabilization, plus all the, probably spent $250,000 to $300,000 by the time you rack up all the money that we spent on that whole thing. And it doesn't mean we're not going to have things, and if we hire this person that we're going to be immune to lawsuits. But really, we only have to fund this position. I realize after we hire somebody, we have to fund it through all of next year. But do you anticipate the earliest would probably be July 1st we'd have somebody in this position, right?
Well, the earliest would probably be
September. Okay. So really, if you're looking at September, you have September, October, November, December. You got 4 months. So roughly a third of roughly 90,000 would be about 30,000 we're only talking about for this year, correct? Because this is really kind of a supplemental idea here. So finding 30,000 is a little bit easier than finding 90. That'll be our challenge for next year. I would say, did we, before when we had a city clerk, did we fund that out of the general fund, or was that partially subsidized by utilities?
It was general fund.
When we started doing administrative fees, it was, you know, rolled into that overhead that was paid for partially by the utilities.
Since half of the job, roughly, obviously it'll go back and forth, but half of the job is city clerk and half of it's the records person. So let's just take for ease about 50%. Maybe that does come out of general fund, or maybe part of that comes out of utilities, the city clerk position. I would like to kind of get a rundown on how we paid for that before, you know, what portion came out of each, you know, when we did have a full-time city clerk. That would be a good way to go about it, and then break it down with half of that going that way. As far as trying to come up with exactly which fund is going to pay for what, I think is can be very difficult, because I mean it's not the particular place's fault that they get asked to do this or asked to do that. I mean, I understand, but I mean it may come out of a different fund, but it's all out of the same pair of pants, if you will. I mean it's city money. I understand the desire to do that. I would say that you had a range that you had of, what did you say your range was on the position?
The all-in cost, total comp?
Well, just for salary to begin with.
Just for salary would be $66,000 up to $85,000.
Okay. If I'm going to approve this, I would like to approve at the 66 number. I'm not interested in getting into the 85 number. I think with this economy and people that are out there, I mean, unless you find somebody in the interview process to just say, this person is so incredible that we have to have them or something like that, to me, the difference between 66 and 85 is huge as far as hiring. And in the present job market, I think that we could probably get very well-qualified people at the lower number. And if we are going to need to do this, I think we need to try to minimize as much as possible. Unless you find somebody that's just incredibly qualified and you feel is going to really, really, really help us, I think there's going to be some training that goes on with whoever steps up to the plate on this position. I do think that we cannot go on without having a records person, and I would encourage you, if we can, before September 1st, if you can find a good candidate, to bring them on as soon as possible, sooner rather than later, because of the attorney fees that we will incur throughout this entirety of this process. How long do you find that with the records that, I mean, we're basically working at just trying to emergency put out fires at this point, I would assume, but getting this thing under control, if you will, how long do you think that's going to take, a year, year and a half?
I estimate a good year for somebody who can concentrate even 75% of their time on that. It's a matter of really looking into, we've got boxes of records that need to be gone through. We need to look at retention issues. We need to actually set up a records management system that is usable and viable for everybody. There's training that's going to be involved with all city staff on what our retention issues are and really how to properly retain records. It will be a matter of setting up a centralized record system, where right now we've got records just kind of kind of everywhere. All departments have records, and that's kind of the challenge we're having is seeking out where those records may exist.
It sounds like parks and planning and secretarial staff and everybody, it seems as though, sees the need to have a records person. It seems like we've taken somebody from, you know, parks, we've taken somebody from planning, and they all understand the joy that this whole process is. And so I don't think, do you feel that there'll be a real blowback as far as actually hiring somebody when we do have a hiring freeze going on? From employees?
Okay. Either way, I mean, we've got naysayers for not doing this.
Right.
So.
Okay, well, to me, there's no choice. We have to do it. We can't take a chance on, I mean, there's always a chance, but we cannot escalate our exposure by not having somebody doing this. So I think it's a no-brainer. So I'll look for what the rest of the council has to say. But as far as I'm concerned, we'll find the money. We're gonna take it out of somewhere. So. One last question. Are we ahead, from what I can see on these numbers, Dan, are we ahead so far as what we're collecting, as far as what we're spending?
Our general fund revenues?
Right.
Some are a little under, some are a little over. Overall general fund, we're just right on target.
But as far as expenditures, we're under, correct?
We're pretty close to being on target. We're very following the budget.
It seems like we're a little ahead on the, based on what we got today, it seemed like we were a little ahead.
Yeah, the fines and forfeitures is under, but property taxes over, so it all kind of nets out. But I mean, we're doing good, but I guess I'm just not optimistic that it's going to stay that way. I have a feeling fourth quarter of this year, it's not going to be that good.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. Definitely some concerns with paying for this out of the Revenue Stabilization Fund. I realize we're kind of in a bind. It's only for 4 months this year. I guess the question that comes to mind for me, and I don't need an answer tonight, but you know, when we get into the budget session, if this is something that we do end up doing and we get into budget planning for next year, we're going to have to figure out what probably needs to be cut to pay for this for next year. So not looking for an answer tonight because it's June, but you know, that's going to be another uncomfortable, and I'm sure perhaps discussions, maybe they've already started, maybe they haven't. You know, that's going to be an ugly thing. Is there, you know, where do we do that from? I can understand, you know, I'm a little more apt to say, okay, for, you know, we can do this for 4 months, you know, because it is kind of, you know, a bit of an emergency situation, but it doesn't get us any farther than 4 months, and that makes me uncomfortable. So I guess nothing other really than that comment. I recognize that we need this. I think we do need it. I'm concerned about how to pay for it in the long term. So I'll be looking. Be interesting to hear how what you guys present to us, and I'd certainly be interested in hearing what might need to be shifted around at a future meeting. Of course, thank you,
Councilmember Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. I totally agree we need the position. I don't think that's something I have a concern of. I'll echo kind of what Councilman Gearing just said. Given the ranges that you gave, you know, I'm gonna hear the high number, which I think fully loaded was about $110,000 a year. I'm not even remotely comfortable funding that from the Revenue Stabilization Fund. I think that our reserves are razor thin. You know, I mean, they sound like big numbers to individuals because most people don't have, you know, $100,000 in their savings accounts. But for a $10 million general fund budget, that's a lot of money. I mean, that's not a lot of money. And so I'm very concerned. I don't think I would vote for it if that was our funding source, because that's not sustainable. And that seems to be something that gets us in trouble years down the road. So for me, I'm going to be looking for what we're going to cut in order to pay for it, because I do believe it's important. I believe we have to have, I like the job description, I believe we have to have it. You mentioned that some of the costs would come from other funds, and Councilman Balk had asked for, you know, I just need like an estimate of what it is. I don't think anyone wants to hold anyone to those numbers. But again, I'm hearing it's going to cost us $110,000. I'm assuming that's all coming out of the general fund. So anything that comes from those other funds to me means that number is going to go get less. And then there was also some reference to savings from legal costs. And so again, if we could get a number there so that we have the full information of not for 4 months what it's going to cost, but what's it going to cost for 16 months? Because, you know, we're going to have this for the 4 months of the end of this year plus going into next year. And I think that's information I would need to have before I would vote in favor of it.
Thank you. Councilmember Ball.
Yeah, thank you. As others shared, revenues, rainy day fund, I don't want to use. But as Councilman Williams said, he read my notes. That what are we going to save in attorney fees? And that includes, you mentioned, in processing public records requests and writing ordinances. So what did we spend the last 3 years? So what was the average? So what will we anticipate saving yearly? How will we be handling the utilities when we use this? Is it going to be a transfer? Are we going to increase our transfer from that, or is it going to be by hour? I prefer to have it as a transfer or something similar to that, so it's one chunk, but not worrying about, okay, this month we did 4 hours, next month it's 2 hours. So if we can have something more dependable in that source of funding, I would appreciate that. The third source, I heard that looking through the documents you showed me, most of the number of requests is building engineering. Do we increase those fees so to generate some additional revenue to cover those costs? The other question I have is, if Edie is no longer doing the functions of city clerk, is she compensated for that? Or is that just part of her job description? Edie had already indicated no. Okay, I just want to know. I know Edie has a kind heart, but I think you are stretching that statement. I was looking to see if there was... and then the last question I have. So you come up with numbers, and it seems like we can cover this position without hitting the rainy day fund. But much to our surprise, those revenues that we estimated that were reasonable assumptions do not materialize. Are we ready to cut a position to keep this position? If we're not, I mean, you retrieve this information and we find that, the savings in attorneys from the utility fund, increasing the permit fees, that we have a reasonable source of revenue to cover this position. Those are reasonable assumptions, but I've been around long enough to know sometimes they go south. And so if it does, are we ready to cut another position, or do we cut this position? I do not want to hire this position, even if we have reasonable assumptions for a revenue source, if we're not ready to cut, if that'll go south. If this position is that important, then another position gets cut. Anyway, I think if we look at all those, that we might become close to the total source of revenues we'll need for this position, hopefully. Maybe. If not, at least we have an idea what the real gap is and make the decision from there.
Thank you, Councilmember Ball. Councilmember Ketabek?
I waited to listen to all my other fellow council members, and you said pretty much everything I was going to say, so I have heartburn over using the Revenue Stabilization Fund. I mentioned that before. I agree with Councilman Bach and Councilman Williams that if this position is a priority, then something else might need to go in order to make it sustainable. Question, if it says over the past few years this has been increasing, did staff just not deem this as a priority for this budget cycle? What was any discussion around that, or... Just curious why it didn't hit a priority, 6 months ago,
because 7 months ago. It has been a priority, but as we were looking at the overall city and the functions that we needed to maintain, we felt we had to fund some other positions first, and then this employee that was or currently still is doing this function, has burned out, physically sick, things of that nature, and we didn't prepare for that. So the stress this position has caused that individual, we just didn't anticipate. So.
Okay. Is there a backup plan if this person isn't able to do it? I mean, how long have we been doing this? Who was our last record retention? Was it Betty?
No, it was
Judy Gribble.
Judy Gribble.
Okay. And she left. She was in the planning department. And we laid off that position, knowing that we were laying off a records retention position. So made that decision based on that, based on the economics at the time. And now we're being brought to fund a position without any money. So I have a little bit, obviously, issue with that. I do want to know how much attorney fees will go down. That is an important fact for me to know when I make this decision, because how I look at the numbers, you know, you gave the salary range 85 to 110, and that's with full benefits. You stated that it costs just over $15,000 for a five-month period for staff time to do that. That's just over $3,000 a month. This position is going to be paid much more than that per month. If we do this position, and currently we are making do with the situation, I think this is a position that we have to plan for. We have to have a funding source. Trying to see if I had any other questions, but yes, I need to see a funding source. I'm also not comfortable if we're going to pull it out of the different departments. I mean, we have to factor it might just come out of, I mean, that 110, we have to just plan that it might come out of the general fund, but you might be able to pull it out of some other funds, which would save the general fund money. But I think you have to plan for that, not knowing where it's going to be pulled, not knowing where the requests are going to be. So based on having to plan for that, you can't say we're going to use Kelsey because you don't know what requests are going to come in. So that's all the comments I have.
Just wanted to clarify one point that you had made about the $15,000.
Right.
That is just Denise's time.
Right.
And the parks. It doesn't include Jane Smith's. A lot of others looking at documents. Sherry Simonson does the police department. Mm-hmm. So that number is actually much larger.
Yeah.
But other staff are not tracking their hours or the time that they're looking at them. And maybe they should. But they don't.
Well, it'd be hard for a director probably to do that. A follow-up question to that point. Do just having this records retention person, would they still have to ask a director of a department or include them possibly in looking at the records at times? It would still use some of their times based on they're the director in charge of that department. So that won't go away.
I don't see that going away, but I see it being greatly diminished.
Yeah, the hope would be that would be diminished. But I do need to see how much the attorney's fees were currently spending and how much a records retention person would take upon them. That is a very relevant point in my mind.
Thank you. City Administrator Bradley.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to elaborate a little bit more on your question, in regards to the records and how we want to see that structured in the future, currently, everybody holds their own records, mm-hmm. and that's part of the problem, is that, you know, I've got my records, Brad has his records on all sorts of topics. We want to see that be libraried in one central location, and if we're working on a project, we talk to the city clerk, they bring us that file. So they manage that. Currently, our backup for the person doing records disclosure right now is Terry. We've got nobody else, and so I've asked her to take on that duty. She's received some minimal training, so we've already started some deferment. I did hear counsel a few weeks ago when we discussed this matter and you talked about attorney fees. Mm-hmm. I pulled those records, looked at them. I don't believe they're accurate, and here's why. In last year with the lawsuit, it showed we spent $5,000 in attorney fees was all. For records disclosure, and it's broke out on the bills, that can't be accurate. So what we feel is happening is it's actually under all the other line items, it's blended in there. So I just need to take some time to be able to go through each individual bill and pull out that number, because looking at the overall spreadsheet they provided, that can't be accurate. I mean, Zach this year has spent, I hate to guess how many hours he spent this year, and the bill, it was only like $4,000, and that can't be right. I mean, I'm sure he spent that in a month's time, because the bills are atrocious. So at any rate, give us some time. We'll pull all this information together, because I'm as intrigued by it as you guys are to find out what that actual cost is. But it wasn't as easy as I'd hoped.
Oh, thank you. I agree. What you want out of this position would be the ideal position or the ideal situation. Unfortunately, we've had to make some tough decisions this year, and we probably don't have an ideal situation in most departments, including the planning department. So, you know, that being said, a lot of employees have had to do a lot more with a lot less people, and I get that. That's just the times we're in. My other concern about the money is we've agreed and already put out and I think interviewed for an economic development manager, and that position was not budgeted. Okay, so we've taken that on. Now, a community development director was budgeted, but we're doing two managers. There, those things being equal, there's two positions right there that we need to figure out a little bit. Some of it was budgeted, but some is not. We have to figure out, and those are already out there. We put them out there. I was going to ask for an update later, but you know, we put it out there. I believe we interviewed, or it's closed. I'm sorry, one of the positions is closed. So we've already set that as a priority, and we don't quite have funding for those two positions. Now we're coming forward and saying this is a priority, and we have no funding for this position. So, you know, those are my issues. Thanks. I'm done now.
Councilmember Steinman.
Thank you. Basically, we pay Zach a little over $200 an hour. So if he spends 10 hours a month, which I'm sure he spends more than that, you're already at $2,000 a month. You multiply that by 12, you're at 24. My guess is it's probably more like 30 to 40 that you're going to end up spending in public records requests, even at 10 or 15 hours a month. So from that standpoint, I can already tell you we're going to save probably $30,000, however you come up with that or you don't come up with that. So I think we're already, if we take $100,000 as a number, we could probably save 30 right there, and that's on a conservative realm. I also think that as far as the city clerk is concerned, with the public records request, half of our budget or more is the police department, correct? You guys have over $5 million, correct, in your budget?
Correct.
And this person will not be doing any of that. So I do think that that is something to consider, to take 50 or 60 or 70% of this person's salary and take it out of roughly $4 to $4.5 million is a, you know, I think we need to look at how we're going to break that thing down when we're spending over or right at about $50 million a year on utilities. I realize that there is work that goes on with that, but I do think that utilities, I mean, as I look at it, maybe we'll save a third with the attorney fees, maybe have the utilities pay a third, maybe general fund pay a third, and I think that probably would get you to your $100,000. And that way you can, you know, 33 is a lot easier to take out of the general fund than 100. So I think that as we look at those things, and maybe we do have different funds that we can bill over time, that would be the North Kelsey and things like that. But for right now, I think that would be probably a good estimate. Those numbers obviously are not perfect. You guys have them. But as I look at it, I think that's a way to look at it, as a third in savings, a third utilities, and a third general fund. I think that probably would fairly well, and you guys can figure out how all that works. But that would just be my thing to mention. I am a little concerned that we make sure that we understand that this person is not doing any of the police stuff. I think there was a statement somewhere, somebody said that the police department was going to have this person. Does the city clerk do anything for the police department? Do they write ordinances? Does she do resolutions? But there's really not that much. Thank you for that. Okay. I just think it's important for us to realize that that it is kind of limited to maybe 40 or 45% of the general fund budget. So just something to keep in mind. Thanks.
Okay, well, council, appreciate the input and direction. We'll get back with you on those questions. There was a recommended action, but that's not for this evening. That was at the end of the discussion, and whether we move forward or not will be seen. But just wanted to bring this again to your attention and appreciate the input. Okay, thanks, Terry. You were the chief. All right, next item for discussion is the Hill Street property. City Administrator Rosalind.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to bring council up to speed on the Hill Street property, this is the burnt structure from well over a year ago. The building has been sitting there vacant, obviously, and was fenced. The fence disappeared a number of weeks ago and was put back. Number of citizens have complained, concerns about the safety of the building, things of that nature. Staff got together, had a discussion, and decided that we would look into our options as far as taking action against the property owner to get the building removed from the site. We feel that our ordinances support moving forward, so we, in fact, did that. I think I sent out an email to council informing you of that. The police chief put together a letter, a well-written letter, and had that served to or sent certified to the owner, and the owner has responded. In fact, the contractor he has hired got in contact with our planning department today and had a discussion with them, and will be coming in tomorrow with a submittal and hopefully moving forward on that project to have the building removed. A couple of the things that we want to make sure is that they're abiding by all the laws. There's some abatement concerns for asbestos, things of that nature. So we're going to be going over that with a fine-tooth comb. We do understand that the property owner did receive funds from their insurance company to have the building removed. And I want to say that was in February of this year that they received the funds. So it's been sitting there for a while. And we're pleased that we're moving forward.
It says in the letter that they were notified to obtain the demolition permits by June 15th. That's tomorrow. So do they have to come in and just apply for the permit? Is this easy to get in one day? Or are they going to – so are they going to be, you know, not in compliance even if they come in and apply? So where are we at with our –
Here's the history on that. The letter went out, and it was an incorrect address that it went to.
Oh.
And so it was returned. We researched the file and found an address of where this property owner lives, mm-hmm. and resent the letter to that individual. He got back with us immediately. So we're going to work with him on the date, okay. but we did not change the date. We felt it was okay. important to keep the pressure on to make this happen.
Okay. Thank you.
We're going to continue to monitor his progress, and we are going to continue on in the process. I hope that he continues on the process, and we will stay on.
What's the usual time it takes to get a demolition permit? I mean, you said there were some issues with abatement and whatnot. So what's the time frame usually?
You want to answer that, Brad, to your department?
Our demolition permit is very quick, but along with that, it needs additional permits from the air pollution authority and those sort of things. So we just make sure before we give him ours, it says
he has all those other things.
All those things in place.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, what's the timeline?
It's hard to say on that. Because
a couple weeks.
We've never done really and tear down an asbestos field building that had fire in it. So I would assume at least 2 weeks, probably closer to a month.
Okay.
We're going to look for progress, continuous progress every week. Gene had mentioned the funds that we received were about, 4 months ago, and there's now mm-hmm. 4 months. So our goal is to see progress
would like to direct your attention to the department reports. Certainly, if you have any questions for the directors and managers of those departments, I'd invite you to reach out to them. I think just in the interest of time, we'll leave those reports for your review. Unless, I was going to say, no, that's all right. Absolutely. No, I was going to say, unless anyone wanted to speak on something specifically.
Only because this may have some bearing on Terry's report on the city clerk position. In my department report, I talk about legislative changes. One's bad. We're going to lose some of our station revenues. It's about $11,000 to the general fund that we will not have next year is what I'm estimating. But one that's good is that they changed the rules on REIT funds, real estate excise tax funds, that we can use REIT funds up to a certain, within a certain parameters for maintenance of capital profit structures. In my mind, everything the city owns is a capital structure. So I need to find out the exact legalities of what we can and cannot, because if it is the case, then we could spend like $125,000 towards maintenance instead of capital. Maintenance dollars are what we're short of these days. Depending on what the park spends each year, I know the parks department, their budget is not $125 on maintenance, but whatever they would not be spending that out of the general fund on maintenance, you may be able to use to fund this city clerk position. But I need to find out, and that's what my department report talks about, that we have this possibility of having more maintenance on it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diane. Okay.
Just have one.
Okay. Councilmember Cadavac?
Oh, I think John.
That's fine.
Could you just give an update on the website and where we're at with that? A couple people have expressed frustration, and I don't know if, with the temporary website, it's been a couple months. Could you just kind of give an update?
Absolutely. We request for proposals several weeks ago. We received a stack of applicants, which was actually a pleasure to get that many. We've reviewed that. We had actually a panel put together to review all the proposals, and starting this Friday, we're actually going to start interviewing that. We broke it down to four companies that we're going to interview. That is CMS, EIS, Civic Plus, and AHA. Those are the four companies that we felt best fit the criteria. We actually had a spreadsheet with all the criteria listed, and everything was scored. So by the end of next week, we will have the interviews done with all four companies.
And are they going to design and then manage the website? Is that the direction we're going in? Okay.
It's a goal that each department can add their own information on there. And one of the goals of the website is it's interactive, for one, and that it stays up with the times. So, cool.
Thanks. And I had a question about the economic development person, the manager, and also the community, the planning manager, and kind of where we were at with those positions.
Correct. We've received some applications, and we're in the process of reviewing those this time.
Have both positions closed? Okay. And then I just have one other comment or question about the ordinance we did, where we changed our rules of procedure, and we are no longer reading letters into the record. A community member made a comment that they noticed some of the letters that were put into the record weren't necessarily following name and address, as we do when we ask people to state when they're in there. So I just wanted to make sure, I don't have the ordinance in front of me, but just to make sure that we're following the same rules that, and it's listed in the ordinance, that the letters have to contain the same name, address, as they would if they came and they spoke. And I can't remember if that was in there, so I just wanted to double check, and if we could just check that and make sure that it's the same rules.
That's a good point, yeah.
Just, I didn't notice it myself, so.
If I may, on that, also check with the city attorney to see whether or not that is required for a public meeting.
I always assumed it was because we've always asked for it. So.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's a good. Yeah.
We asked that for the purpose of the minutes, but for a public meeting and to be have standing, do you need to have the address also?
Yeah, maybe that's the question is because I just made the assumption that if it's included in the record and they're voicing their opinion, we would want name and address along as we require when someone stands up here. So, I mean, that's a question.
I don't know the answer. I just want to make sure before we change anything that we do not create a more difficulty because of public hearings, state regulations.
Okay, the draft agenda for next week.
Thank you very much. The draft agenda for June 21st, we are not going to have the oath of office because we had the pleasure of bringing Mr. Camp on board this evening. Thank you. We have our consent agenda. Under new business, we will be having a joint meeting with the library board. We're very excited about that, and we've actually met with them already and have an outline. The introduction of comprehensive plan amendments, capital facilities plan, ordinance authorizing the payment of claims or other obligations by check. And then we have the discussion regarding functions of government. Under final action, we have resolution adopting term limits, and then the ordinance regulating door-to-door solicitation, and the draft agenda for July 12th.
As I will be gone next week, the 21st, I will be out of town. I'm graciously asking council if they would be willing to not talk about the resolution adopting term limits, if we could move that to July 12th so I can be involved in the discussion. I know it's totally, I'm just making that request because the urgency, if it needs to go on the ballot.
We need to have it done by August. We have to have a resolution to how the, for the wording of it.
Yeah. By when?
August.
Is it August? So I'm asking that favor. I'd like to be involved in the discussion, if possible.
I know you don't want it, but that's fine.
No, that's not why. I would love to hear council members' thoughts on it, and I would like to be in that discussion. But if council wants to keep it on the agenda for next week, that
does moving it create any problems with the timeline? Does moving it to July 12th create any problems with a timeline?
Not the timeline is my understanding, but my preference, I'll double check, but it'd be to move it to the third meeting in July when our attorney's here.
Oh, okay.
The even 19th. Better.
So you're suggesting July 19th, our attorney be present. Okay.
I appreciate that.
I would appreciate it if we do that then.
Thank you,
out of respect.
I know we're not moving.
I'm here
again.
All July.
Chief.
Well, you can see what happens.
Could we add swearing in of two officers?
Sweet.
Oh. It's it.
Yay.
Councilmember Ball.
What's the turnover rate for our police officers? It seems like we've had a lot of swearing in, and I don't need the answer now, but I just...
I can guarantee you that the swearing in here, we have had between members of last year and fall, between members of this year and last fall, we laid off two positions, and one officer left. And... then we hire an officer in March, and then we had an officer retire May 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the officers that we will be swearing in is replacing a kid who retired.
It just seems like we've had quite a few lately, and anytime there's a turnover rate that's increasing, sometimes that's a warning sign of some other issues, and so I guess that's the reason.
We had them late because we were running off.
Okay, that's fine.
And
well, that's not fine, but...
In fact, one that we were swearing in next week is coming back. And,
okay.
He really wanted to come back, and he had the opening to extend to so that maybe he has a part of
Thank
we
you.
We don't have a mass exodus.
No, I an increase in turnover doesn't mean you have a mass exodus. But.
I don't think we have lost through the in the last 4 years. We've lost, we're down, I believe it's about 60 positions within the department.
Thank you.
Council, anything else with regards to the agenda? Any closing comments?
Motion to adjourn.
We'll take one.
Second.
Okay, motion to adjourn is made by Councilman Steinman and seconded by Councilmember Ketovac.
Study session.
Yeah, I know. We never really went into it. That's why we'll take it. All those in favor of adjourn?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
I know why.
I don't mean it.
You don't.
What does it mean?